This is Nurse Geezer News for January 18th, 2021, and I'm your host, Rebecca Hartman-Baker. Today's guest is Sudip Dosanjh. Sudip is the director of NERSC. Sudip, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks, Rebecca. I really appreciate your having me on, and I look forward to a great 2021. I guess we just wanted to wish everyone a happy new year.
Yeah, happy new year. So, Sudip, we always talk about the past and then looking forward into the new year. So what kind of accomplishments have you seen over this past year in NERSC?
You know, of course, 2020 was a challenging year for NERSC and especially our staff, much like it was probably for many of our users. You know, when the pandemic hit, NERSC was deemed a critical infrastructure because a lot of people use us to work from home. And so we were faced with kind of a major challenge that while people had a lot of things going on in their lives, we needed to keep operating for our users. And so we were able to do that pretty seamlessly. You know, I was really proud of our staff. You know, many of them faced personal challenges, you know, having kids at home or being isolated from their families. Even routine things like going to the grocery store became a challenge. Yet they're very, very dedicated to the mission of NERSC, which is really enabling all this great science that all of you do. And I think it was that commitment and dedication that really helped us through that transition period. And so I was very pleased that we were able to keep running. And actually, our utilization set all kinds of records. This is pretty amazing because I think a lot of our users were home, you know, doing science. And so Corey was, you know, always busy. And so that was great to see. You know, we did have some challenges, you know, when we had problems with Corey, you know, we had to figure out how to bring people in and do so safely. You know, so that was very satisfying. You know, we did keep a lot of things going on. One thing was that we kept planning for Perlmutter. So there's a big facility upgrade that has been underway. And I know that that's also caused some outages and other things that, you know, maybe weren't always immediately all that great for our users. But long term, they're really going to benefit of this because they've given us a lot more power and cooling into the building. And that will allow us to deploy bigger systems like Perlmutter. And so, you know, we hear from our users that they need more computing. And so the power and cooling upgrade was really, you know, absolutely critical to that. And that was a huge challenge because you can't do that remotely. You have to be on site. And we had contractors, we had to pause for about a month because of the stay at home orders. And our staff was able to work through those delays and catch up to the point where we're just about ready for commissioning now. And we should be done with the last outage. So there shouldn't be any more outages with the power and cooling upgrade. And the exciting part is that the Perlmutter is going to show up here, the GPU cabinets, next month. And so that'll be a lot more computing for everyone. And, you know, it'll be a great new system for everyone.
Yeah, so that's going to be really exciting in the new year. We're going to have Perlmutter arriving, and we should have all users on it for sure by the end of the year, the entire system, right?
You know, initially it will be the NESAP piece, and actually we learned a lot in that, you know, we kept engaging and collaborating with, you know, a subset of our users, getting the codes up and ready. You know, we had quite a few teams in NESAP and a lot of teams that were getting the information as well. And, you know, really it's been amazing the amount of progress that they made. And I think we've learned a few things that, you know, before we were doing these hackathons, and now we were doing kind of these longer engagements that were, you know, each meeting was shorter and virtual, but it actually seemed to have really paid off in that a lot of users are really, really ready now for the GPU cabinets in Perlmutter, which they weren't at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, that's true. And we've had a lot of GPU-related trainings as well this year, trying to get people up and running, and we're going to have more next year.
And your team, Rebecca, has done an amazing job, you know, just in terms of, you know, working with the users. I know they're doing it from home, and they have had lots of, everyone's had their lives upended, but, you know, you're still answering all those tickets. You know, we have more users than any supercomputing facility in the world. So my guess is that we probably have more tickets than, and, you know, we have metrics that we track. And really, I have not seen any kind of drop off at all, it seems like. And if anything, we're answering tickets at even a higher rate than before.
Yeah, I've been really amazed with how well my team has been doing in the consulting area. It's unfortunate we had to drop the phone service because of this shift to work at home. But now we're starting to offer these appointments that people can do with a consultant one-on-one over Zoom or whatever. And I think those are going to be really helpful for people.
Yeah, I thought that was a great idea, you know, because especially as Perlmutter comes on board, you know, I think people are going to have lots of questions or need some kind of help. And so, yeah, so I think that being able to, I hope people take advantage of that, because I think what I've heard from people who have is that they've been very helpful.
So we've had this huge challenge with COVID-19 this year, but we've also been helping to fight against COVID-19, right?
Right. So that's one of the things that happened kind of in the middle of the year, is we were actually given some funding through the CARES Act to deploy some specialized equipment for COVID-19 research. And so what we did was we deployed some large memory nodes in both CORI and in SPIN, and made those available to users who were doing COVID research, because a number of them said that they really needed a lot more memory on the nodes. And we gave people doing COVID-19 research, there was a consortium, an HPC, a national HPC consortium for COVID research that we were part of, and people got allocated time through that. Generally, we made that time available through director's reserve, so it didn't impact our users' ability to get their work done. But that's kind of what we focused we have some amount of time that's set aside for kind of strategic projects. And so that's, we were able to use that for the COVID-19 research. And there's actually lots of great results on, people were using it for a wide range of things, including, you know, trying to track the spread of COVID-19 or develop vaccines or treatments. So it was really, really kind of exciting to be part of this national effort, because, you know, that ultimately that's what a national lab is for, is when you have a national crisis that we need to be able to band together and respond to that.
Exactly. Yeah, I feel like it's been a challenging year, but very rewarding overall, in that, you know, we've had to pivot very quickly to working from home, and we've also had to tackle this big new challenge, but it seems like we've achieved all of those things. So
ultimately, I'm very, very proud of our staff, because, like I said, you know, they've faced lots of personal challenges, and I'm just proud to be associated with people who are so dedicated. It's really been a pleasure to be associated with them.
Agreed. All right. So Sudip, looking ahead in 2021, tell us about what we're going to see.
Well, of course, we're all very excited about the development of several vaccines for COVID-19, and we're starting to see people get vaccinated. And so, you know, our hope is that, you know, we'll have widespread vaccination and that life will return to some kind of normal or new normal. And so, you know, we're looking forward to that. You know, we're very excited about the delivery of the GPU cabinets of Perlmutter. We've already taken delivery of the file system and non-compute nodes and login nodes and a test system. And our staff are actually working very hard. It's going to have a new software environment developed by HPE Cray called Shasta. It's brand new. It has a lot of features that would actually be beneficial to the users, in things like rolling upgrades, so that we wouldn't have to take the system down completely if we were upgrading the software. And so I know that's always been an issue. And so, you know, when Shasta is fully fleshed out, then then we should be able to do a lot of upgrades without the users even really noticing that much. And so, and there are a lot of resilience enhancements, but you know, it's a lot of work to develop a whole new software stack. And so we're working very closely with HPE on that. And then, as I said before, you know, the GPU cabinets show up in a few weeks. You know, that's going to be a lot more computing for our users, 4 or 5 times more computing than Core provided. And so, you know, that's what we hear. The two things we hear most of is, I wish I had more time. And so having a bigger computer helps with that. And the second thing is, why is I/O so slow? And so Perlmutter was actually designed to have much better I/O than traditional supercomputers. It has the new Cray Slingshot network, and it is actually Ethernet compatible. And so it should be able to make it much easier to transfer data from the outside world into NERSC. It's got, you know, it's a very fast for doing data transfer inside the machine. And in addition, we have a all-flash file system that's being deployed. And so I/O to that should be much, much faster. And in addition, you know, last year we deployed phase one of the community file system. So that was a big boost. You know, before sometimes when big projects needed more storage, we needed to charge them. And with the community file system, we've actually been able to make a lot of storage free for a number of teams that do big, you know, big data type problems. And so that was very exciting. We're currently working on phase two of that. And so when that's accepted, that'll actually, and deployed, that'll actually double the amount of space available in the community file system. And so I think that should be, you know, that should be very exciting as well. And then we're also beginning to plan for NERSC 10, you know, deploying these systems. You know, we look very hard at the requirements from our users. Quite a few of you have participated in different types of meetings or workshops where you tell us what you need in the future. And we listen very closely, and we actually design our systems with those kinds of requirements in mind. And so deploying these systems actually takes many, many years, and getting the facility ready takes many years. And so we're actually starting to plan for NERSC 10, which would be deployed in 2025, 2026. And so that's very exciting. You know, we're working on what's called a mission need, which is taking input from all of you and saying, well, this is why we think we need a new supercomputer in that time frame, and some thoughts on what it might look like. Ultimately, it'll be a request for proposals, and companies will bid on it. But kind of the two big things that we're doing with it: one is, you know, we're really going to focus on workflows instead of benchmarks. From a user experience point of view, you know, what you really experience is a workflow and not Linpack or some other benchmark. And so we really are going to aim for a 50x improvement in a set of representative workflows from kind of a broad set of users, a 50x improvement over Cray. And so that's a huge challenge to figure out how we can do that. And then the second is, we really want to be, you know, we've always been focused on resilience and reliability. And so we really want to make this a very resilient and reliable system. You know, more and more we're seeing people wanting to do data analysis. We have lots of data coming in from experimental and observational facilities. They need something like a real-time or quasi-real-time answers to what's going on with their experiment. And so we really want to try to figure out, I know that sometimes users think we're not up or something, but we're actually, when we track it, we're actually up a huge fraction of the time. But you know, we want to make it even higher with NERSC 10. So we're very excited about that.
Yeah. This all sounds really exciting. And it's great to have things to look forward to in these otherwise dark times, I guess. So.
Yeah, I think 2021 will be a great year as far as vaccinations and getting over this health crisis. And then, you know, we're going to have a lot more computing for our users. And, you know, I think that really that's what, as I mentioned earlier, that's really what drives NERSC, is the work that you all do on our systems. You know, it's the passion for enabling this great science that you all are doing. A lot of our staff, frankly, could make more money in the outside world working at Google or Facebook or NVIDIA. And I think what really keeps us here and keeps us passionate about what it's doing is the output that you all produce and the great science that you all produce.
Absolutely. That's what I'm here for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's great talking to you, Rebecca. We're looking forward to a great year, and I hope lots of people sign up for those consulting sessions you've been talking about.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks so much for joining me today, Sudeep.
Well, thanks, Rebecca. Thanks for having me.